This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Laying out the case that should be in the front page of the New York Times, the Washington Times, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC. Why is nobody covering this? Well, we do know part of the answer. They're colluding with the Clinton campaign. Why are they not covering this?
Well, I think the dam is starting to break a little bit. They hate the idea of Donald Trump winning. He's an assault on the entire establishment. They are desperate for Hillary to win, and they're trying to carry her to the finish line, no matter how corrupt, how embarrassing, how difficult. But every day it gets heavier and gets harder. As I listen to you go through that list, by the way, I was asking John Hines to check to make sure I was right. There were 43 people in Watergate who were either indicted, tried, or convicted. And I say that because as you watch more and more of this stuff, I don't see how John Podesta is going to stay out of legal trouble. I don't see how Cheryl Mills is going to stay out of legal trouble. Huma Abedin, a lot of those secondary players, the IT guy. I mean, this is not just about Hillary Clinton. This is a large group of people who are being carried into behavior, which is illegal. Much of it involves overt criminality. Certainly Doug Band is, I think, at risk of being part of a RICO organized crime trial. So you go down that list. I think there are a lot of people here who are going to get trouble, despite everything that Attorney General Lynch has done to block it. And it's quite clear now that she has been the primary blocking point, and the people she appointed when she was in the Brooklyn office of the U.S. Attorney, as Andy McCarthy has pointed out in a new column coming out tomorrow morning, that she's really at the heart of the effort to protect Hillary Clinton from her own criminal behavior.
During this deal, had said he was the only one going, Scott, you know, we've been talking about this. We've been bringing it out to the forefront because these are things that people need to be aware of. And when you pursue the truth, no matter where it leads, this is what it comes down to. And what Newt is referring to here is, you think her support staff, I mean, people have been with her for over 20 years. I mean, all compromised. Boy, this could just be incredible. I mean, this is. If it's worse than Watergate, we remember, for those of us that were around and watched what was going on in our television living rooms every day in terms of the process and the whole procedure of Watergate, if this is worse than Watergate, what are we talking about? Richard Nixon lasted a year and a half after re-election. Is Hillary, how long does she last? And what does this do for her presidency? And here we are at a point where this country needs to hit the ground running. As our discussions with Dr. Herb London and Michael Rubin indicated, we have been, kind of hamshackled here for the last 8 years. And we've got a lot of ground to make up. And the last thing we need is a president who is going to be, so caught up in legal wranglings that we can't be about the people's business. But here it is, with the stuff that's being exposed, whether it's John Podesta and Cheryl Mills and Huma Abedin and the latest revelations of her estranged husband's laptop. And, as you and I were talking about a moment ago, Scott, Huma Abedin, she told Congress, she told the FBI, she doesn't like to delete any of her emails. She wants to save them because she just feels like, she may need to reference them. But, it's one thing to save your emails, but you want to make sure that they're on a secure device, right? An authorized device, from the government, not some home laptop that your misbehaving husband has access to, which is what Donald Trump suggested when all this came out, going, oh, my goodness. I mean, is this going to spell, trouble in River City when you've got Anthony Weiner having access to some computers that Huma Abedin and information that she had? That's that old deal about pillow talk, right? This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, if it's going to happen, it's going to be ground floor, right? It's got to be a bottom-up movement, not top-down. And I sense this groundswell across the country where America is saying, look, I've had it. 7 out of 10 of us agree that we're on the wrong track. I say, okay, what does the right track look like? But the first thing is we've got to start communicating with one another so that we understand. And this is why, you know, we've got to knock down these walls of political correctness because it's blocking the communication links. And I think our next guest would agree with that. Their topic is breaking through the bias. And we're talking about gender bias, particularly communication techniques for women to succeed at work. With us are two attorneys. They happen to meet at work, by the way, and it's husband and wife team, Andrea Kramer. She's a partner in the international law firm of McDermott, Will & Emery, LLP, which was just listed as one of the 10 best big law firms for female attorneys. Andy, as she is called, is head of the firm's financial products trading and derivatives group. Now, her husband, Alton Harris, was a founding partner of the Chicago law firm of Ungaretti and Harris, where his wife and co-author, Andy Kramer, started her legal career. Alton and Andrea, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
We're just great. Nice to be on the show.
Hey, good to have you here to get your perspective on, you know, right now, I guess part of the driving force in our political environment is gender bias. And, you know, how real is it? And how do we get to the other side of it? You know, like anything, it's first an admission and a declaration of what the problem is. And I know that, Andrea, you've been focused on this quite a while. I mean, you've been living it, right?
Well, absolutely. I've been a lawyer now for a very long time. And one of the issues that I see is that when people don't know each other and know about each other, then it's very easy to fall into the stereotypes that we all hold about women, men, leaders, careers, families. And so those stereotypes very often will influence the way that we interact with each other.
Well, Alton, I have found that when that happens, as Andrea talks about these stereotypes, it's a lose-lose proposition, isn't it?
I think so. One of the big problems, though, that I think you alluded to at the very beginning is that we're often, indeed I would say almost always, not aware that we have these stereotypes. Most of us, in quite good faith, believe that we are unbiased, that we don't hold any gender prejudices, and indeed that the organizations we work for and the political parties that we support are absolutely gender neutral. Problem is that that's just not true.
Well, when you say it's just not true, let's drill down a little bit deeper on that, Andrea. Based on your experience, how would you support what Alton just said?
Well, there's different ways that the bias comes through, Bill, and, mm-hmm. and one of the key ways is the assumption that women are not as competent as men, so that even though the reality might be that a woman is infinitely more qualified, she isn't perceived that way. And if you're not seen that way, it doesn't really matter how competent she really is, because what happens is perceptions basically overcome reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alton, in the process of this and getting to this point, there have been women that have been able to break through the glass ceiling, as Hillary Clinton would say, and in their respective businesses, because, you know, they were able to fight through it. And in some cases, when I've spoken with women who have been successful, it's like, you know, that they didn't want to focus on other people's perception of who they were. They were confident that they could get the job done, and that's what they did. They focused on that. Were they, you know, like ostriches sticking their head in the sand? By no means. It was more the idea that they had a bigger job and responsibility on hand than getting involved in this. That, you know, as my dad used to say, the cream always rises to the top, and everybody has a bottom line. And when you demonstrate that bottom line, the proof's in the pudding, as they say. And if you can get the job done, look at, you're going to have a team of people following you, like the team that followed Meg Whitman and other women who have been successful through the ages. Sadly, because of our own humanity and failings, it's unfortunate that this, you know, this is there, that it does exist. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but, you know, I want to champion those women. And it's not only women, but men of race and color who have been prejudiced because they're thought to be less than.
Well, I can't argue with that, Bill, but the statistics make very clear that those women who make it, those people of color who make it, are in the decided minority.
Yes.
That we see, let's just look at the workplace. We see that women and men now are entering the workplace in basically equal numbers. Mm. But that as women move up the hierarchy within their organizations, whatever they are, they drop off the ladder, so that we have only about 36% of managers who are women. That drops down to a little under 30% who are senior managers. Drops down to the 20s for women in the C-suite. And then it drops down to between 3 and 5%, depending on the year and the situation, of women who are CEOs, the Meg Whitmans that you're talking about.
Right.
So something's happening. Something's happening that is pushing women out, or that is causing women to want to get out of the professions and serious business. And the question is, what is that?
Uh-huh. No, I think that's a good question to ask, because, Andrea, I would think in part some of these are lifestyle choices. I mean, even men make the decision. They're on a fast track and they decide, you know what, at the end of the day, I've seen enough of this, and I want to choose something else. How much of that comes into play here?
Well, there are obviously some people who choose to, women who choose to opt out or take a step sideways, but the reality is that in my experience, as well as in the research that we've done, what we find is that very often women are pushed out as opposed to opting out.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk about that that force, that pushing out, especially in light of the fact that the current statistics show that women are graduating at a higher number than their male counterparts. So it would seem that there's a change on the horizon that we're about to realize here in this country. We're talking with Andrea Kramer and Alton Harris. We're talking about gender bias. And not only in our politics, but, you know, at the places where we work. So we'll have more conversation with them on the other side of the break. Thank you for being with us. For more information, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Today, living in the United States means that your online privacy is at risk. Regaining that privacy means going abroad. Privacy Abroad offers secure online privacy because our servers are located in Switzerland, a safe haven for digital communications. As a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to hide, but you certainly have something to lose. Regain your Fourth Amendment rights and your peace of mind. Go to patriot.privacyabroad.com now. That's patriot.privacyabroad.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business, so make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Want to build a maintenance-free, low and slow charcoal briquette fire that burns for hours for free? MeatMastersRadio.com will show you how to build a low-temp charcoal fire that's guaranteed fiddle-proof. It's easy and free. MeatMastersRadio.com teaches charcoal barbecue skills on new topics every week. Go to MeatMastersRadio.com. That's MeatMastersRadio.com.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9256. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9256. Call 1-800-958-9256. 1-800-958-9256.
You know about RVs, you've heard about bunkers, but surviving is not recreation, and man wasn't made to live underground. Introducing Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's mobile, well-equipped, and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Go to survivalistcamps.com to learn more. That's survivalistcamps.com, providing your basic needs to survive. Survivalistcamps.com.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
You need a follow. Your hands hold my tomorrow. Your grace, you know the way you guide me tenderly. You need a follow. Just light the way and I'll go. Cause I know what you got for me. It's more than I can see. So lead me on.
It's Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, welcome. Welcome back, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts. You can drop me an email. We'd love to hear from you, particularly on this topic as well. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. We're speaking with the authors of Breaking Through Bias. Andrea Kramer, Alton Harris are with us. And I will say this book explains that it is the stereotypes about women, men, work, leadership, and family that hold women back. And it presents an integrated set of communication techniques that women can use to avoid discriminatory consequences of these stereotypes. Alton, dare I say, as we mentioned earlier, whenever we talk about women, we're talking about everybody. I mean, it's just some of these things that carry over, and they do cross, gender. I mean, you talk about gender bias. It's not, even though the focus here is on women, bias is bias, and it crosses all gender and all cultural lines, doesn't it?
No question about that. Bias comes, unconscious bias. That is, we're not talking about people that are openly and overtly prejudiced.
Mm-hmm.
We all have unconscious stereotypes about all sorts of people, whether it's based on sex or age or race or ethnicity, religious affiliation. We all have these unconscious predispositions and expectations as to how those people will behave, what kind of abilities they have, and how we can relate to them most effectively. So bias is across the board, but the primary one that I think our country is struggling with, apart from racial issues, is this one of gender. And Bill, right before the break, you mentioned that women were graduated from college in higher rate.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely correct. And it's been going up such that I think the last figure I saw is that women are graduating in something like 5-6% more than men. But if that's so, why aren't they performing the same way with respect to the careers as men? And I think the difference is that college, university is a environment in which skill, talent, ability are judged objectively. But the workplace is an environment in which it is judged subjectively. And when it's judged subjectively, those people that are doing the evaluation and allow, unconsciously again, their stereotypes and biases to creep into their judgments.
Andrea, I understand where Alton is coming from. And, what would be your mentoring tip for these women, understanding that there are landmines to navigate? They've been trained. They have desires. I would say for the good of all concerned, you know, we need people to be the best that they can be. And anything that promotes a less than kind of perspective toward our fellow man is lose-lose. And I think empirically we are realizing the evidence is very clear, is that when people are treated fairly, when you look over the landscape of the businesses of this country, and it's not, sadly, as Alton says, it's not represented in terms of, you know, we can't sit here today and say, wow, 50% of the companies that do this are, it's not. It's still that exceptional type of a number that we're talking about, maybe less than 10%. But there are some victories that are happening. And I think also with the increasing number of women who are coming, that are graduating, I think even by sheer pressure and number, this is going to force the issue. What do you think?
Well, you raise a very good point, which is obviously that the pipeline is filling. And so it's not a pipeline problem. And in thinking about how to provide some useful advice to women, what Al and I thought and how we structured our book was to basically acknowledge that men and organizations have work to do, and we're not suggesting that the issue falls solely on the shoulders of women, but that women in today's unconscious gender-biased world have some tools available to them to allow them to navigate around some of these stereotypes that are prevalent. So, mm-hmm. for example, one of the things that that I've seen done successfully, and we do discuss in our book, is the ways that we communicate both verbally and body language, nonverbal communication. Mm-hmm. And one of the key things is that there are perceptions that women are supposedly modest and weak and willing to help other people. And the stereotypes about men are that they're assertive and independent and going to get things done. And so when women act outside of the traditional stereotypes, then there's a disconnect in the way people perceive them. And so one of the things that a woman can do is that she needs to be certain that she's balancing the stereotypes that are the behaviors that are associated with women with the behaviors that are associated with men, so that she doesn't result in having people's hair catch fire because they don't know what to do with her. Mm-hmm. So that by being able to pull from a whole panoply of behaviors, she's actually able to get what she wants, achieve what she needs, and make the points that and be heard.
Well, Alden, what Andrea's touching on here, if I'm hearing her correctly, is it starts with an outer presentation. And if women do not want to be objectified and fall in the traditional bias representation, then they need to even, you know, just consider how they present themselves. I can say from my own experience, when women present themselves professionally, I respond to them professionally. When they present themselves in a way that objectifies them and they're trying to sell something of an outward appearance as opposed to their intelligence and what they have to offer the company, I got to tell you, I can't help but reflex against that a bit. And it does call up some warning flags. What do you say?
I think that you're expressing the view that virtually all men would express, and whether that's the way we should respond or not, I don't want to comment. But I agree with you entirely that women's style, their way of presenting themselves, their presence, their carriage, their body language, needs to be of a sort that the people with whom they are dealing would expect to see from a person who is occupying the role or providing the service or running the business that the people who observe them would expect. So that women can do a great deal for themselves by managing the impressions they make through their communication patterns.
Well, and my hope, Alton and Andrea, is that this is a win-win proposition. And it's not winning because somebody else is losing in the process. It's an opportunity for people to bring to the workplace, to bring to the political environment the best that they have in order to advance the cause for all concerned. I mean, we're all intermingled. We're all part of this incredible mosaic and puzzle piece that when we work together, we're better off as a result of that. I thank you for your book, Breaking Through Bias. Remind everybody, we've got about 10 seconds, Andrea, where they can go for more information.
Amazon has our book, and you can get all the information you need from our website, which is www.andie. And
barking like a seal? That cough? That's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Attention small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. We search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Lord, can you tell me? I just gotta know how far.
How far is it?
Yeah, I just gotta know how far.
Oh. Hey, welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Hey, what do you think about the World Series, huh? All tied up, 3-3. You didn't think it was gonna last this long, huh? How exciting is this? So we have a Game 7 in the World Series. That's the way it should be between Cleveland and Chicago. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. By the way, we abbreviated our ability to be able to refer you properly to Breaking Through Bias, Andrea Kramer and Alton Harris's website. You go to Andy and Al, Andy, A-N-D-I-E, and A-N-D, Al.com, Andy and Al.com. They've got more information right there. It is time to take a look at religious liberty. I don't know of another time where there has been such persecution of our religious freedoms here in this country. Yes, the United States of America. Who would have thought? I mean, years ago, the president went about and said that America, he declared to the world, America is no longer a Christian nation, and many conservative leaders in our government said, when did that happen? When did we stop believing? But the fact of the matter is that America has been on this trajectory for a number of years, and I would say you could probably go all the way back to Darwin. Because when Darwin came in the scene, suddenly it justified, it gave secularists the handle that they needed in order to come across any in any way to offset the influence, the Christian influence in this country. We're able right now to talk with Dr. Thomas White, who is one of the editors for the book First Freedom, The Beginning and End of Religious Liberty. Dr. White, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, great to have you here. This is a helpful go-to guide of religious liberty conversations that you say can be quite useful for pastors, church leaders, and professors. And I think especially for pastors in the pulpit today, they need to really sharpen up their sword to see what's going on. This whole aura of political correctness and the threat that the government's going to come in and take away your tax exemption, like as if God can't handle taxes. I mean, Jesus was able to, have Peter go find a coin in a fish's mouth. But somehow the tax boogeyman is scaring pastors and holding them back from dealing and addressing these issues. Because guess what? People in the pews today that go to church on Saturday and Sunday, they're coming in contact with these creeping religious persecutions and these attack on their freedom of religion. Right?
That's correct. You're seeing it in Iowa, although we do have a slight victory there where they're being told what they could say at open church services. You're seeing it in Georgia where pastor sermons are being requested to be reviewed and people losing their jobs with bivocational ministry. You're seeing it encroaching in our elementary schools and our public schools and our colleges and universities all across the country. And so it's only a matter of time till each of us is affected by this. And so in First Freedom, we try to equip the reader with the history, with the biblical worldview, and then also with what's going on in the culture so that we'll be ready to give historical arguments, biblical arguments, and to take a stand for what's right.
How can the government resist history? I mean, if you're reviewing history, I mean, this has been the problem even with our own history in this country is we've ignored it. They've dumbed it down. We've got kids going to colleges, getting degrees, spending $250,000 for their graduation certificates, and they know so little about this country.
Yeah, that's true. And so we actually even go back beyond the founding of this country and to the original principles of religious freedom to help our readers understand that the state can't coerce what we're going to believe, even though they may be trying with public and secular humanistic educational systems. That's not the way it works. We each have a soul. We're each responsible before God. We're each going to believe what we believe, and you can't force somebody to believe anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a basic human right and our constitutional right as well. That we should have freedom of religion, freedom of our own soul to make our own choice. And we, in this book, and myself, the Baptist, we have fought long and hard for complete religious freedom, not just religious freedom for our viewpoint, but complete religious freedom. If somebody wishes to accept secular humanism or Mormonism or Muslim beliefs, that's their right before God to do that. We just want a free marketplace of ideas where we can express what we believe is the truth and to present the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, with the attacks on Christianity, like you say, it's evident in history. It's been longstanding at the very seeds and roots of the founding of this country. Religious persecution is what sent the pilgrims looking, didn't it?
That's right. And they came over here looking for religious freedom. And you had even differing views when they first came here. Some really just wanted religious freedom for themselves. And there was a discussion amongst the differences in the founding as to whether that would be the case or whether it would be complete. And we have that letter from the Danbury Baptist to Thomas Jefferson where he talked about the wall of separation where the state would not endorse one religion over another. So it wouldn't be a particular religious freedom, but it would be complete religious freedom. And I fear now that what we have taking place is secular humanism is not being called a religion, but it in fact is a worldview. It is a set of beliefs, and it is now being imposed upon our universities, upon our elementary schools, upon our high schools, and even, as possible, upon our churches and society as the established religion of the government.
Exactly. Well, and that's the deal. Supposedly, we have separation of church and state, but I guess if it's their church, it's okay.
Yeah, that's the way it looks. And I don't know that they recognize secular humanism as a religion, but it is a complete worldview from beginning with evolution to how you view yourself, what the purpose of humanity is, the end of humanity. It has all the marks of a religion. And so we need to be equipped to have the right arguments to say if somebody wants to believe that, that's great. But if somebody wants to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then they should have that right to articulate and teach what the Bible says just as freely.
Excuse me. Well, as you know, Dr. White, when we ignore these issues, they get more and more complicated. It's kind of like the old Pennzoil commercial says, you can pay me now or pay me later. The implication is that, you know, when we pay later, it's much more costly. And, is the heritage of our country, the people that believe in the heritage of our country, are they prepared to take a stand to the point that they're willing to fall on their sword? Because I think, you know, we're at that point. We're at that crossroads where, you know, we've been so accommodating. I say we, Christians, people of faith, have been so accommodating that they've allowed the encroachment. And as you say, where the government now has basically exchanged, you know, one religion to another. But because it comes within, you know, within the confines of their and understanding of their definition, then it's acceptable. And anything that has to do with God, which, oh, yeah, by the way, is the absolute basis and the empowerment of we the people and our constitution, all of a sudden that's ignored.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, and I think we're going to have to take a stand. I think what we're going to have to do is redefine love. Mm-hmm. You know, after the Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage, love wins was the argument, but when we look at what love really is, it's presenting what you believe to be true about life and about eternity with other people, not just accepting things that you think are wrong. And so some of the Christians have even brought into loving your neighbors yourself to be accepting all things, when true love is to express to them what Christ did for them on the cross, dying for their sins so that they could repent, believe in him, and understand Jesus and be reconciled to their Creator. And so Philippians tells us that every knee will one day bow. There will be an eventual end to religious liberty when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And so at that point, the most loving thing we can do is express with compassion and with conviction our beliefs and what we believe the Bible teaches, why we're here, what God did to reconcile us as rebels against him. Mm-hmm. That's what we do in love. And so we've got to take a stand so that we'll be able to present the gospel truth to a society that needs it.
Well, when we come back, I got a question for you regarding that specific topic, the topic of love. Dr. Thomas White is with us. We've got more from him as we discuss religious liberty in the country in this 21st century. What does it look like going forward? This is Bill Martinez. We're live just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour right now.
It started at Bunko Night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin, barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
How would you like to pay less taxes? Listen, there are two things every American's going to do in their lifetime: die and pay taxes. If you want to live longer, exercise and eat right. We really can't help you much there. But we can help you pay less taxes. If the IRS claims you owe them 10 grand or more in back taxes, you've got two choices. First, you pay them exactly what they want. Wrong answer. Second choice, you call my friends at the Tax Relief Line. They'll call the IRS for you and help you pay less. In some cases, a lot less. They have a track record of saving their clients thousands of dollars. Listen, if you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, call now and see how much we can save you. 866-657-8520. 866-657-8520. That's 866-657-8520.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
You gotta be smooth when you dance La Bamba, huh? I'm telling you, 14 before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. I am Bill Martinez. Dr. Thomas White is with us. He is the president and professor of theology at Cedarville University. Dr. White, one of the editors of First Freedom, The Beginning and End of Religious Liberty, just recently re-released as a revised and updated edition of a book originally published in 2007. Dr. White, I guess, you know, when you were looking at the book, you felt you needed to update it in light. I mean, a different time, 2007 versus now, right?
That's correct. Yeah, you know, nowadays we're seeing challenges come for the Christian university. We're seeing an entirely different sexual agenda that has been promoted since 2006. It's just a different landscape, and we want to make sure that Christians are prepared to understand the issues and to be ready to articulate, even in common discussion, the reasons that we need to hold to religious freedom.
It's got to be tough for the kids that are coming in. I mean, just even, you know, as you say, the kids that came in 2007, you know, versus today with the cultural influences and that sort of thing. I mean, sometimes do you think like maybe God just dropped you off in some other planet in the last couple of years or something?
Yeah, you know, we're blessed here at Cedarville because it's a Christian university, so we end up with what I would believe would be the best and the brightest from all across the country coming from homes where the majority of our students' parents still do nightly devotions with the Bible, and they go to church on a regular basis. So I think we're an oasis in the midst of things that we see going on around us where, yeah, there's a lot of confusion. Yeah, there's confusion about the earth and why we're here and what our purpose is, and confusion about how we talk about and handle some of the different worldview issues of the day. And so we try to clearly lay out the fundamental differences and to be able to express our opinions without hatred, with love, with conviction, with compassion, understanding that the truth, if we just set it free and articulate it clearly, the truth will ultimately win out in the end.
Well, you know, before the break, we were talking about love, and you just mentioned love again. The society would like to redefine love. And here it is. It's all being, you know, it's just coming in different angles, certainly something foreign for me and what I learned. But I go back to the basic question as to who defined love to begin with.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I think God defines love. I think God is love. Without God, we wouldn't know what the word love is. So it's one of his characteristics. It's one of the things that we should seek to emulate. Scripture defines it well for us as well. So when we look at that, love, I think, contains truth. And so if I have bad habits in my life, if I have things that are ultimately going to lead me down the wrong path, those who love me the most are those who are going to have a difficult conversation with me, set me down and say, look, we believe this is not good for you and that you need to change this for your own good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's love. And I'm thankful that I had a mom and dad and I had friends that loved me and helped correct me to put me on a path that would ultimately lead to human flourishing, but also to the glory of God. And that's what we need in our society is more people who care enough to truly demonstrate love to their neighbor and to demonstrate the love that Christ showed us when he was inconvenienced, when he came in the form of a human to die on the cross, to be ridiculed. Yeah, that wasn't easy, but that was what God did for us. And I think we're the best Christians when we show that type of love to our neighbors.
Well, and right now, in light of all that the culture has been affected by, dare I say, political correctness, relativism, and we see a lot of unloving things as defined by God happening in our culture. And, sometimes I think, Dr. White, I go, how are we supposed to respond to this? You see somebody doing something, making unloving decisions, whether it has to do with issues of abortion or who they want to cohabitate with or, the same sex marriages, which are being thrust upon this culture. You know, how do we address these very difficult situations? As I said earlier, you know, if we do it early, not quite a big problem. But today, homosexuality has run so rampant that I would dare say near every household in this country. And there's no 6 degrees or 3 degrees of separation. I mean, they come together thanking God at Thanksgiving and you've got homosexual children at your dining table. How do we address this with God's love and when you see that somebody is making choices and decisions that are antithetical to love, all in the name of love, because that's what the culture has said. It has endorsed this kind of behavior. And to me, that is most unloving. But that is my experience and my understanding who I believe God to be.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we even address this in the book. We talk about changing our mentality from the majority to the minority and then also confronting the sexual revolution that has taken place. And I believe the best thing we can do is to stand firm on what Scripture teaches and abide by the authority of Scripture. So as we articulate that to others, it means going back to a basic biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did the earth get here? Are we cosmic accidents that then need to look into our inner selves and embrace who we think we are so that we can live life to the fullest? But I don't think that's what psychology shows. I don't think that's what science shows, and it's certainly not what the Bible shows. The Bible tells us we were created by a loving God, and we, through our own sinful rebellion, run from that God who loves us and that Christ died to reconcile us to the God that created us. So articulating the biblical worldview from creation, from the very beginning, all the way through to ultimate redemption, and that our final hope is Jesus, and our final hope is the recreation, that all things will be made new. I think that's how we address this issue. I don't think we hit this issue in a heated political fashion of one particular subject. I think we go back to the beginning and say, let's look at the worldviews and see which one is right and which one can stand the test of truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did God create them really, man and woman? Or did God have in mind 26 different gender choices that are available? I mean, you hear such statements as, one celebrity declaring herself is fluid, and now the latest designation is pansexual. All this stuff unhinges, the anchoring points that are so critical. It's no wonder that our society is in the state of confusion that it finds itself in. But, I believe, and according to a Gallup poll last year, or at least earlier this year, is that secular America is still looking to the church, believe it or not, for answers. You know, they realize that they're confused. Some of them are. And I want people to understand, you know, where we're coming from at this point, Dr. White, because some people will say, well, Bill, you're judging people. Well, I'm not judging people. God tells us that we need to evaluate things. It's for God to judge. You know, we are taking our worldview. We're taking what we understand about our faith, what we understand about God, which it wasn't something that just happened in the middle of the night. I mean, for me, this has been a lifelong journey and commitment and understanding. And I've studied God and have passionately pursued God in the interest that, you know, as he said, that it would go well with me and for my family.
That's right. And I think it goes back to Genesis 1:27.
Yeah.
You know, God created us, and that one verse that says created three times, God knew the challenge that we would face with evolution and other theories. It says he created us in his image twice in that one verse, and if we're created in the image of God, then all life from conception to natural death has value. And it says he created us male and female, and that establishes a worldview of a sexual ethic. And so as we embrace a biblical worldview, as we realize that God died on the cross for our sins and got up out of the grave, and so our biggest problems of sin, our own sin and our own falling short and our own death and what happens in the future, as we learn to answer those major life questions with the right answers, the only answers that really bring peace and fulfillment, I think that's where we address the culture in a loving way. I think that's how we stand firm, as Daniel did in the time of Babylonian exile. I think that's how we stand firm, as Paul did. And even if it cost us our lives, I think as Christians we should be willing and ready to take a stand and to clearly articulate our faith in Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And, you know, Dr. White, I agree with what you're saying, that we need to stay settled in our position. And it is God's love that will draw them to them. And I'm talking about people who are in violation of God's rules. And, you know, we see this throughout our country, and it's happening in mass. And this is why I believe that 7 out of 10 Americans say that America is on the wrong track, because we've abandoned one of the foundational tracks of this country, which were, you know, based and bathed in God-given principles, weren't they?
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, Romans 1:16, we're not to be ashamed of the gospel. And in fact, it's sin that enslaves us. It's the gospel that sets us free. And so I think the sooner we return back to one nation under God, is that the sooner we return back to recognizing that we are not the answers in and of ourselves, but that there is a higher power that has given us these freedoms and these rights. And we start responding with a humility and a love for others, a genuine, true, biblical love for others.
Yeah.
I think we'll see our nation set back on the right course.
Well, it's individual freedom and rights. It starts with the individual, and this is where the bottom-up movement is so critical. It's not going to happen because of a president that's elected. It's going to happen because we, the people, decide that it is time to get back on track. And we decide that we're going to make the first step toward God. He says that, hey, look at it, if you'll come my way, you'll be surprised how much I'll come your way, right?
That's right.
So to speak.
We all need to take it.
Loose Bill Martinez Interpretation, the new unabridged edition. Dr. Thomas White, President and Professor of Theology at Cedarville University in Ohio, one of the editors of First Freedom, The Beginning and End of Religious Liberty, which will be linked on our website, and it is available at all the usual places. Correct, Dr. White?
That's correct.
You got it. Dr. White, thank you so much for being with us. This is Bill Martinez. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us.
Hi, my name is Stephen Holstein. In my 20s, I abused stimulants and anabolic steroids to the point where my adrenal glands were shot. I suffered from extreme fatigue and an inability to handle stress. For over 6 years, I have been taking adrenal supplements, including herbs, glandulars, vitamin C, and vitamin B5. All these supplements did was treat the symptoms and produced only minimal results. Now, just after 1 month on Synergy One and ADR Medics, I truly feel rejuvenated. I have never felt such relaxation before from any adrenal supplement as I did just 10 minutes after taking ADR Medics. I then noticed Synergy One made me wake up rested and with much more energy. No more hungover, groggy feeling upon arising. I had almost considered going to another country for stem cell therapy as a last resort, but now I truly feel rejuvenated on Synergy One and ADR Medics.
Success happens with synergistic nutrition. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Dan.